You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The UFC Buzz Podcast with Gareth A. Davis. Exclusive to William Hill. Listen online at audioboom.com or subscribe at iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts.
Hello and welcome along to the UFC Buzz Podcast with Gareth A. Davis for William Hill. My name is Mark Walton, filling in for Dave Kellner this week. We're going to look ahead to the UFC Fight Night as Holly Holm takes on Betch Correa. And Gareth is on the line now. How are you, Gareth?
Very good morning to you. How are you doing? It's morning because I'm in Las Vegas at the moment. I have to say I'm beautifully placed for the biggest news that we've had in fight sports for a very long time in some ways, in the Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather will be fighting on August the 26th. Very big news for the UFC and for boxing.
Yes, absolutely huge news. It's going to be, they're talking about it being the biggest pay-per-view event ever. It's the hype's already started. Do you imagine what it's going to be like by the time we get to the 26th of August? It's huge, isn't it? Is it just a money spinner, as people are saying, or do you think we'll actually see a good boxing match out of this?
I think it's huge. I agree. I think it will break all pay-per-view records. I think it'll do over 4.6 million pay-per-views, Mark. And I think it will be a bit of a circus in the build-up, certainly. And that's what people will love. But, you know, in boxing terms, the truth is it really ought to be a massive mismatch. But, you know, this Conor McGregor guy has an X factor. He's only 28 years old and he's at the peak of his powers, whereas Floyd Mayweather hasn't been in a ring for 2 years and he's 40. There are some kind of imponderables in this fight. McGregor didn't just touch the Blarney Stone when he grew up. I think he swallowed it the way he's able to do things. But, you know, as a man that covers both sports, you really have to favour Mayweather in a massive way in this fight. And the build-up will be amazing, but I think the fight may just disappoint, because I think Mayweather is a defensive genius, and I just think it may end up being a fight that people are disappointed with when they actually see it.
Okay, very lopsided betting as well. Floyd Mayweather is 1-9, the draw 33-1. Conor McGregor is 5-1. I suppose the angle, if you're trying to make a case for Conor McGregor, is the fact that Floyd Mayweather is 40 years old and he's always struggled against southpaws, and McGregor seems to find a way to get things done. Could you tempt anybody with that 5-1, do you think?
I think people put money on McGregor simply because he has this X factor, as I was saying. And, you know, he makes the impossible possible, the improbable probable, and the possible likely, if I can put it that way. He's got this ability to talk the talk and then walk the walk when he does fight. Listen, I don't give him more than a 2 or 3% chance of winning this fight. But you know what? You don't know in fight sports. We've seen so many things happen in fight sports that are improbable down the years. And so I think some people will bet on McGregor. But, you know, how is Mayweather going to lose this fight in a boxing match, a 12-round boxing match at light middleweight with 10-ounce gloves in his home from home? But, again, you never know. There's just that slight, you could call it a puncher's chance, but it's a very, very slim chance he's got of winning this boxing match.
One thing that nobody really has seemed to talk about with regards to the fight as well, the knockout rules, whilst it's a knockout technically in both sports, they're very different. Either Conor McGregor obviously knocked out Aldo because he knocked him to the ground and then was hitting him with heavy shots and the ref had to stop it for Aldo's safety or whatever. In boxing, you have to take a 10 count. You've got to leave the fighter on the floor. That's a very different scenario, isn't it, for in terms of knockouts and the way the fight, obviously the codes are massively different.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, these are two different sports. They're two different codes. And I think we have to bear that in mind. And, you know, McGregor's got a heavy left hand, but movement and head movement, footwork and head movement are very different in boxing and MMA. There isn't as much head movement in MMA because they're looking at so many more skills. It's the decathlon of fight sports in terms of the mixed martial arts and the different martial arts being used. But as I say, this will be debated and debated and debated until that final or that first bell rings. But I think the build-up will be off the charts. And you know what? The great thing is you have to applaud both teams for getting this fight done early and getting it organised and getting it done. The world wants to see it. Even the purists, the boxing purists that poo-poo it, I think will still secretly buy into the event because they'll just want to see it. Listen, People have wanted Mayweather to get beaten for years, and they've always been proved wrong. He's fought a who's who of modern greats in the sport. He's beaten six or seven guys who'll go on to be Hall of Famers in boxing. You know, Oscar De La Hoya, Miguel Cotto, Manny Pacquiao, all these names, Shane Mosley, Saul Alvarez, and I just can't see McGregor doing it.
No, I think a lot of people would agree with you. The market agrees with you there as well. One thing, even if the fight doesn't quite live up to the expectation, the press conferences and the build-up, both showmen, it's going to be something else leading up to the 26th, isn't it? It's going to be probably the biggest build-up we're going to see to a fight anywhere this year.
Yeah, absolutely right. And maybe outside that, you could say that Anthony Joshua and Vladimir Klitschko too, if that happens, and it could be here in Las Vegas, they're saying, in Germany or in Cardiff at the Millennium Stadium. That's the only other fight we'll kind of match it for interest, I think.
Mm. We'll leave that there anyway. That's to come at the end of August. We've got matters much more pressing to concentrate on. We've got UFC Fight Night coming up this Saturday evening. It's the second UFC event in Singapore after UFC Fight Night when Safadine took on Lim in 2014. The event has three former UFC champions, one former title contender, and a total of eight fighters who have headlined UFC events in the past. It's quite a big card, isn't it, on Saturday night?
It is a very big card, and I think, as you say, the main card itself, I mean, they're pulling out the stops, you know, in Kallang in Singapore, because, you know, the UFC has, you know, not travelled to that part of the year very often. You know, I think, you know, it's only the second UFC promotion that's taking place in Singapore. We had Safadine versus Lim, which was in January 2014. So it's been 3 years, 3.5 years since I've been back there. But they've really, as you say, they've brought a very, very decent roster to this event.
We're going to look at the four best fights, or the four big fights of the evening. So we'll start to spin through those. And we start with Tarek Seferine against Rafael Dos Anjos. Seferine 21-10 in the market. Dos Anjos is 4-11. I suppose the interesting thing here is that former lightweight champion Rafael Dos Anjos is stepping up to the 170-pound division, finding it harder and harder to make the weight cuts at the lower weight. And how do you think he'll get on? The market's quite lopsided in his favour. Do you think it's worth him stepping up and taking his chance at the 170-pound division?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, look, he was ranked 5 at lightweight by the UFC. It's a very interesting fight for him. You know, Safadine's number 11 in the division. So in many ways, it's a good leap up for him at welterweight. He's not a big man, though. And in many ways, I think, you know, the two losses he's just suffered kind of perhaps preempted him moving up to a higher weight division mark. And I think, you know, again, this is a fight in which, you know, both men... I think Tarek Safadine's lost 3 of his last 4, but he's still a very, very skilled striker. And Rafael Dos Anjos, of course, a brilliant on the ground, but very heavy hands from the southpaw stance himself. This is going to be a really, really banging fight to get that main card underway. It's a real pick'em, but, you know, as you say, what equals it out is Rafael Dos Anjos stepping up 15 pounds. I kind of favour him in this fight. I think he may well get the job done against Safadine. I see him winning on points against Safadine in a very close and very tough fight.
Okay, close fight then, leaning towards Rafael Dos Anjos there in the opening fight we look at. We move on to Donghyun Kim next against Colby Covington. Donghyun Kim is 9-4. It's 1-3 for Covington. I suppose we can expect Covington to use his grappling, try and control the fight as he usually does. The market is very much in his favour here. Is it a chance for him to really step up and put on a show against a top 10 fighter in the shape of Donghyun Kim?
Look, this is a great fight for Covington. He's a young, up-and-coming star. Look, Donghyun Kim's ranked 7 in the UFC welterweight division. It's a massive opportunity for him to really show his skill set. Donghyun Kim, at his best, is so dangerous. You know, he's a huge welterweight, 6'2". He's as thin as a door, yet as wide as a barn door. He's a tough prospect for anyone, Donghyun Kim. But, you know, in recent times, 3 great wins against Safadine, Dominic Waters and Joshua Berkman. His last loss to Tyron Woodley, the current champion, of course, in Macau in August 2014. If Dong Hyun Kim's on his game, I think it might be a very, very tough night for Covington. But, you know, he's a brilliant wrestler. He's very, very strong. But as I say, this is definitely a step up in class. I do favour Dong Hyun Kim in this fight if he's got his mojo. It's all about which Dong Hyun Kim turns up. But again, this is a pick'em in many ways. I'm going for Dong Hyun Kim on points in this fight.
You're going to get some decent value there as well. The market very lopsided for you know, I didn't expect the top 10 fighter to be the 9-4 shot in this bout. Is the market wrong there, do you think?
Well, I mean, I don't want to say the whole market's wrong, but I think, you know, I think people are looking at, you know, Dong Hyun Kim was a wrecking ball at one point. I think people are looking at his loss to Tyron Woodley. You know, he's only had three fights since 2014. He's in the continent of the world where he's comfortable. Traveling really matters in these kind of fights. It's a very, very long way from home. I mean, listen, I could be proved completely wrong, but I still favour the experience and the all-round skills of Dong Hyun Kim. People will back Kobe Covington in this as well, but purely because he will try and get hands-on and out-muscle the Korean, the stun gun. But again, I am going to favour, Mark, the stun gun in this contest.
All right, moving on to the co-main event of the evening then. Andre Arlovsky taking on Marcin Tybura. Arlovsky is 19-10. Tybura is 2-5 in the betting. Arlovsky has only won half of his fights since returning to the UFC in 2014. He's lost his last four in a row. And he takes on Tybura, who's racking up an 80% finishing rate in his career. He's a real stoppage artist. And he's obviously the favourite here. Is this too much for Arlovsky to handle? Obviously a great fighter in the past. Is he gone over the hill now?
It's all about the heavyweights in the UFC with those 4-ounce gloves, Mark. Who lands first and who gets going early? I mean, we saw an amazing fight last week. A victory for Mark Hunt over Derek Lewis. And, you know, it was a real brawl. It was fantastic. But Hunt, so clever. I've got to say how much I admire this 43-year-old. He never ceases to amaze us. He obviously moved up to number 6 in the rankings above Lewis at 7. And hovering there at 8, of course, is Arlovsky. Marcin Tybura at 13. He's looked really good. I mean, he lost his first fight in the UFC to Timothy Johnson. Then two victories followed. You know, he came as the M1 Challenge heavyweight champion. As you say, he's knocked out 7 of his 15 victims, if you like, in his 17 fights in mixed martial arts. And, you know, again, this is one of those nights where it depends which Andre Arlovsky turns up. We have seen some amazing fights from him since he's come back. He's looked $1 million in some fights, and he hasn't looked so good in others. This is going to be one of those nights when, if Marcin Tybura really wants to make a statement, this is a statement fight for him. He's not been in against the class of the likes of Andre Arlovsky. But you know what? I fancy an upset here. In my view, it's an upset if Tybura beats Arlovsky. But I do think he's going to get the job done. And I think he's going to bounce up those kind of narrow and quite thin, if you like, heavyweight rankings below the top 6 or 7. It's all up for grabs. But I think Marcin Tybura, even though he's good high in the betting, I think it'll be an upset if he wins.
Do you think he knocks out Arlovsky here, or do you think the method of victory would come about?
Yeah, I think he will knock him out. I think it's going to be a knockout. I think he'll find a way inside Arlovsky. I think he'll use heavy hands, and I think we're going to see him having his hands raised at the end of the contest.
Okay, even money for Tybura to win by knockout, technical knockout or disqualification there. Even money in the betting. And as you said, that would be a statement, wouldn't it, from him? It would be his biggest victory today against an old favourite in the shape of Arlovsky, I suppose.
No question at all. And, you know, listen, Arlovsky's had a long and decorated career in mixed martial arts, but he is quite ravaged over time, you know, by those contests. And I think, you know, you do see that with, I mean, he's not young, but he's not weather-worn, Tybura. And I do really see him making a statement here and moving up the rankings, Mark.
Let's move on to the main event of the evening then. Betch Correa against Holly Holm. Correa is 4-1 in the market. Holm is 1-6. Holly Holm, of course, famously beat Ronda Rousey. She hasn't won a fight since then. This is very much a recovery mission for her. And surprisingly, actually, between them, in the last six fights between the pair, there's only been one of them record a victory. So is this a redemption night for both of them? Are they both trying to get their careers back on track?
Yeah, this is a really good fight. I mean, the stylistic matchup's very interesting here. It's who dictates wins this fight. I mean, as you say, Holly Holm, world acclaim after winning UFC 193 against Ronda Rousey, upsetting the planet, if you like, by stopping that run and kind of destroying Ronda Rousey's career in many ways in November 2015. But since then, three losses, Misha Tate, Valentina Shevchenko, and Jermaine Durandamy, all very different types of fighters. The last two very strong strikers. Holm's been outstruck in those last two fights by very powerful strikers. And I think it's all about how she... It is a redemption fight. It's all about how she controls the range and stays on her feet and moves sprightly as she does against Betch Correa, who really is a little bulldog of a fighter who will march forward, throw punches, will want to kind of wrestle and grapple and throw punches inside fighting, dirty boxing, all those kind of tactics, pushing Holly Holm up against the octagon wall. It's all about Holly Holm being on the balls of her feet, keeping moving in this fight. I think she gets the job done. Obviously, it's a main event, so it's a five-round fight. But I think Holly Holm's feet and her kicks are going to be vital in this contest. Leg kicks, the head kicks she can enact when she gets into the right positions. I do favour her to win this fight and to get back on track and challenge for the title again, maybe even this year or early next year.
Yeah, an interesting description about Betch Correa in there. Call her a bulldog of a fighter, and you've mentioned that Holly Holm struggles with strikers in the past. Could Betch Correa worry her? Should she be a 4-1 chance in the market? Should there be that much between them in the betting?
No, I think so. I mean, you know, the thing is with Betch, she's quite a limited fighter, and it's all about a brawl for Betch. She fights with a great bravery, great courage, and great heart, and great tenacity, if I can add that. But you know, technically, I have my reservations about her. She needs to get close. Holly Holm has a height advantage of 4 or 5 inches. She'll use that advantage. She was a brilliant kickboxer, remember, a world champion at that level, a brilliant boxer. And it's all about her movement and controlling the distance and range in this fight. If Betch Correa gets inside, as we've seen with Holly, if you land on Holly, you can hurt her and throw her off her rhythm. And that's what Correa will be looking to do.
But you say you're going to side with Holly Holm here. How do you think she wins the fight? Because she's 1-6 just to win it. Maybe we can squeeze a bit of value out by method of victory.
I think she breaks Betch Correa down for 2 or 3 rounds. And eventually hurts her with kicks. And I don't see her necessarily a head kick knockout, but I do see her maybe going through a few issues during the fight when Betch Correa comes back. But I see Holm winning by points after 5 rounds, Mark, or by late stoppage if she's worn Correa down by then.
Okay, well, points is 11-10. Stoppage is 11-8 in the market, so take your pick of those. If we just have a quick summary before you go, Gareth, I've put together a little accumulator for Saturday evening. Dos Anjos at 4-11, Don Hyun Kim at 9-4, Tybura by knockout and Holly Holm by decision. That pays 17-1 if I could tempt you with that fourfold.
Well, that's not bad, is it? I hope I'm right. I mean, I've been 4 out of 4, 3 out of 1 recently. I've hedged here a little bit and I've gone for a couple of gambles, but look, whatever happens, it's going to be a great card and I hope the fans enjoy the fights.
Yeah, it looks superb on Saturday evening. Been a real pleasure speaking to you, Gareth. Good luck and enjoy it on Saturday night.
My pleasure. Always a pleasure, Mark.
ACCA 5 is William Hill's new ACCA insurance. It means if you have a 5 selection accumulator and one lets you down, you'll get your money back as a free bet. And it's available across all sports. ACCA 5, exclusive to William Hill. T's and C's apply.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.